Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for great music to add to your playlist? Then check out 2 Out of 3. Composed of two brothers, Kyle Mead and Cody Mead, 2 Out of 3 have been setting the world on fire, not only with their passion for music, but with the way that they approach their craft. There are two individuals that definitely know what it means to not only share their heart and soul, and literally have fans around the world taking attention to it. You can find out more information about the guys by going to www.2outof3music.com. Again, that's www.2outof3music.com. There you can find not only free music for you to download, but also find out how you can connect with them through social media, as well as pick up some cool gear from the guys as well. Kyle Mead and Cody Mead are waiting for you at www.2outof3music.com.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited about this next segment that we're going to be sharing with you guys. It's not only someone who's a best-selling author, but knows firsthand what it's like for her life to be a part of the media circus that is out there, but also what it's like for her to be able to move forward. We're going to be speaking with Jody Baby Doll Gibson today. She has a new book that's been released this year called Convicted. We're going to talk to her not only about her journey, of course, being able to serve time, but also how she's been able to make her time count today by doing things that she's passionate about, as well as sharing her own story with you guys. Jody, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is exciting to be able to speak with you, Jody, so I thank you for the time. You know, I think what happens so many times, and I think our radio audience will really appreciate this, Jody, is that sometimes we watch television, and it's almost like there's this gleeful excitement about individuals in the spotlight when something happens to them, especially about the things we've been seeing in the news recently about individuals that have been going to prison and having run-ins with the law. And we forget sometimes that these are real people that are going through challenges that any of us can go through. You know what that's been like for your own life, being able to be a part of that, you know, that media monster. What has it been like for you to share your story, Jody, and to show people what's possible for them?
Thank you, Cyrus. Well, you know, in my case, there was so much convoluted information that I had to write the book. Mm-hmm. It was a must-do. I had to set the record straight that, you know, this happened this way, and I originally was a recording artist. I didn't wake up one morning and aspire to be a madam. It's something I fell into.
Right.
And by way of getting this money machine, it created a creative empowerment for me as an artist and a female artist at a time when women were not pioneering in that direction. They were not producing their own records.
Right.
They started doing that. Madonna was the first person. When she opened Maverick, she pioneered really grabbing the creative reins and getting complete control. That was really where it was at for me then. Mm-hmm. Having gone through this now 20 years later, fast forward, obviously I paid a heavy price for all of that. And there was a lot of learning, you know, a lot of life lessons that I write about that went with it. But that was the motivating factor for me, was that I wanted to be a recording artist. And by way of literally stumbling into what was at one time a legitimate modeling agency that segued into an escort money machine, I literally found that it could empower me creatively in such a way that I could finance all of my professional dreams, which is exactly what I was doing. And in those days, when you brought up initially, in those days, you had a lot less to work with as an artist than you do today. Today, you can do everything yourself. You can do your marketing. You can do your recording in your house. Everything is digital. You don't need to carry around. When I was recording, they actually had these big, huge, 2-inch, like, movie reels that I had to schlep around from studio to studio. So things have changed. It's a lot easier for people to be independent today.
It is. And, you know, I'm glad you used that word independent, because you are someone that I think, again, you know, people know you for various reasons, Jody, as you know. And, you know, it is so easy for us to focus on, oh, well, that's the one that was convicted of this, or that's the one that was doing that. But you have been, I think, you know, it's been amazing to me to watch, and I thought about it when I was prepping for the show with you. You have not allowed what other people think about you to define you. Where did that courage come from, to be able to walk in who you are and to not allow yourself to be defined by others?
Thank you so much, Cyrus. You know, in my first book, I wrote about the fact that I had, quote, strayed from the tribe early on. So very early, you know, in my teens, I knew that I had myself to depend on. And by the way, having come from a very good family that afforded me everything, I didn't even know what it was like to buy my own clothes until I was 21.
Gotcha.
So I had everything and yet decided, I guess, perhaps I had an independent, you know, I write about the fact that was I a rebel or was I a visionary?
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be determined. You could say I was rebellious. You know, I did not conform to how everybody else did things. I've always said you should think out of the box. Everybody has their own way and their own journey in getting there. So I left home early with the determination to be a recording artist and really fashioned myself a lot after my aunt, Georgia Gibbs, who was a very well-known platinum recording artist in the 50s and was the chosen singer at Prince Rainier and Princess Grace's wedding in Monaco. She was very friendly with Princess Grace, as a matter of fact. So she was my early influence, and I wanted to make records and make videos for TV, for MTV, and that was really what I aspired to do. And somehow, by way of getting this escort service that segued, which I then didn't know I was going to be so good in business. I didn't know I was going to be such a good matchmaker. I really didn't. And my whole life has really been a series of being thrown into situations I am completely ill-prepared for, and I have a choice to step up to the plate. That's really how it's been.
And in the process, you've not only, I think, you know, become, you know, this person that people look at and they're able to see what you've gone through, Jody, but also how you've been able to do it. And, you know, I think as you have been able to be inspired by others, as you mentioned here, now you are a source of inspiration for other people. Could you have imagined that would happen, that you would be someone that individuals would look up to and say, you know what, if Jody can do this, I can too?
You're so sweet, Cyrus. You know, thank you so much for that, because I talk about the fact, especially in the book Convicted. Now, you know, in my first book, Secrets of a Hollywood Supermadam, I really only left you with a couple of very brief little chapters about this journey. And
right.
I started to get so many emails from people that wanted to know more. No, we want to know a little bit more about how you got through that, girlfriend. You've got to give us some more detail. So henceforth, you know, the birth of now Convicted, which is a psychological thriller of the heart and mind.
Yeah.
This is not your average beat 'em up, shoot 'em up, rape 'em up book. This is a book where I take you through every waking moment of what this was like, and I'm actually almost reliving it in real time with you. That's the only way I can bring my reader into it. So I've actually gone through these experiences now several times.
Right.
When I first got out, all I wanted to do was forget. Just forget, forget, forget. Everybody kept asking me, no. Okay, so now I had to revisit it again and again in order to be able to process it, in order for my readers to understand. So at this juncture now in 2015, I've pretty much shed that skin. But the journey was very real. It's still very real. It's a part of who I am, but I don't suffer from the aftermath. It was really a question of rise and conquer, and I believe Convicted, as horrible a journey as it was, and I mean, I have chapters in there that are chilling, like The Room or in A Yard, where I write about girls that had no teeth of their own from, you know, drug abuse and literally thought they could go in with their hands and pull out the teeth out of my mouth and somehow put them in their mouth. It was very strange. You're dealing with a very strange mentality. But the point I'm making is, this is a story about overcoming adversity. It's a rise and conquer, because if I can, you're right, Cyrus, I do believe if I can get through all of that I went through and survive it, you can too. Whatever you're going through, you can too, if you want to.
Yes, if you want to.
You have to want to.
And that's the amazing thing you're able to show. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Jody Baby Doll Gibson is our guest today. She's not only a best-selling author, but an individual that is really showing us about what it means to survive and to thrive. Her newest book is called Convicted. We'll tell you a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. You know, Jody, I want to talk about how you go beyond the headline, because I noticed when I was on your website, you know, a lot of times, that's how, of course, how salacious this world is today. You become a headline. How did you get behind that and let people know that you are a person? I mentioned this to you before we went live. I think it was really important for our listeners to remember that you are, regardless of what people say you did or what you were doing, that you are an individual with feelings. How does it feel to allow people to know that and to see that?
Oh, thank you, Cyrus. Well, you know, it was a lot more difficult the first few years of this infamy because, you know, people didn't know anything about me. And unfortunately, since having my recording career was really my objective and the motivating force, that got buried. So I really suffered more from being misinterpreted and misconstrued. Most people thought I was, you know, a call girl that worked for my service. Wrong. I was an aspiring recording artist who was busy at home with 35 animals in an animal shelter, because I was an animal activist for a good 10 years, at least 15 years, running this crazy escort empire with, you know, 1,000 clients and 300 girls, and literally leading a double life trying to protect my recording career, which was really the most important thing to me. So after my arrest and everything, all of that came crashing down, and I woke up one morning and no longer had an income, didn't even think I had a career, what was left of it. So there was a lot of picking up of the pieces and just trying to put one foot in front of the other for a long time in the beginning, and it was very frustrating because in my heart, I was the artist. I was always the artist. I was always in the studio recording. I was always involved with creative endeavors. That was always where my head was at. And suddenly my infamy had cast me in this light that had me as this salacious, illegal criminal when I had never been arrested of anything before. There were absolutely no other, you know, nefarious activities that go along with somebody who's involved in illegal activity. For example, drugs, no drugs. Dealing with minors, no dealing with minors. I only dealt with Playboy Playmates, for crying out loud. So, you know, fortunately, there wasn't any of that there. But all in all, it was difficult because this sort of a label, you know, it does tend to go one of two directions. It's either 50% of the people think you really rock,
right,
and 50% of the people think you're the most horrible thing on earth.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I heard a line recently in a show. I wish I'd have written it. And the line was, people that are controversial are not often very well liked.
Mm.
I thought, gee, that's kind of true. I guess it's sort of hard to, because I do enjoy being controversial because I do enjoy making people think.
Gotcha.
I like making them think. I like stirring up the pot and saying, okay, you've been looking at it this way for all this time. What about this way? And, you know, one question that screams out about Convicted, when you read it and you see all of this insane, it was like bizarro world. And when you see all of the humiliation and degradation and how the system attacks your sense of self, you realize the fight is to hang on to yourself. That was the fight. That was the challenge. More than worrying about getting beat up, worrying about getting my teeth pulled out, worrying about getting raped by crazy lesbian bitches, any number of things. Really, the real challenge in there was hanging on to Jody.
Mm.
That was really like who I was, and and who will I be when I get out, and what do I think of this, and just trying to put it all into some sort of a perspective.
Yes. That is so true. And you know, and that is one of the great things about this journey, you know, this journey. And I don't want to say story, because it's your life. It's your truth. And, you know, I think that's, again, what happens in this world we live in today. We think about, we see these things happen and unfold on television, Jody, and we think, oh, you know, did you see that story? You know, but it's not a story. These are real people's
lives.
Oh,
yeah, and it was very difficult for me, Cyrus. So many people ran from me in the beginning. I mean, you know, I had so much heat on me. I had the organized crime. This was not a Vice case. This was organized crime, internal division, the Mac Daddy. So now I have the entire organized crime task force on me. I got the government on me. I've just come out of incarceration where I've got two paroles, state and federal. Nobody wanted to come near me for the first few years. Everybody was terrified of me.
Yeah, I think that was
you know, that was quite a cross to bear. And then in time, though, I knew in time truth would find its way. It always does. And I was confident that in time I would be able to straighten everything out, the misconceptions. No, I wasn't a girl who worked for my service. Not that I didn't know the game, but that just wasn't what I aspired to. I was aspiring to be in the music business, and by way of this agency, as I explained, had the money to do it. And that was it. It was this, and then all of these other elements along the way, like having an animal shelter with 30 animals at home, being targeted by the organized crime task force. Of course, that does lend, it does make the situation more dynamic. Because for about almost 15 years, I had to live in a way, for example, no one knew where I lived. Even my closest friends did not know. When I was operating in a legal business, nobody, except for whoever I was. And here's another misconception. I was always in a domestic relationship, either married or a domestic partner, the entire time I was involved with us. From 19, probably 87 to present time, I've probably been single for like 6 months. So,
oh, wow.
And I've been married three times, but I've always been in a, you know, monogamous relationship. And that's contrary, actually, to what people even know or think. They think I'm this crazy party girl. Let me tell you something. I don't do drugs. The only drug I've ever tried in my whole life is weed. I wouldn't even know cocaine if it fell on my head. I don't even know what these drugs are, these drugs I hear about. Really, I'm drug illiterate. I go to sleep early. I conk out at, you know, by 8:30. I'm literally conked out. So I've never been promiscuous because I've been in monogamous relationships. So really, I'm actually the antithesis of what public opinion is. They think I'm a crazy party girl. Yes, there is not a sexual scenario I did not orchestrate, delegate, and delineate. Absolutely, I will tell you that hands down. But me, per se, no. I am the farthest thing from the party girl. I'm a vegetarian. I'm a heterosexual. I've always been in a monogamous relationship, and I've never tried anything but weed. You figure.
Yeah.
And somehow, in the vortex of this complete decadent insanity, and it does not get more decadent, much more decadent than the chair in which I was sitting in. And yet, I myself, you know, didn't partake of any of that. I could have, I mean, gosh, the drugs were flowing.
Right.
You know, cocaine was everywhere. Come on. You're dealing with men, money, and women.
you know,
men,
Jody,
money,
thing,
women, and sex.
One thing I wanted to ask you, because I was curious about if this is, you know, you've mentioned a few times about the music, how that was your thing. You're a best-selling author now. I mean, before this experience, would you ever have thought that that would be something that would be attached to you?
What?
Being a best-selling author.
No, as a matter of fact, it's a funny story. I had no idea that I was a writer, to be honest with you. I was always a vocalist. And what happened was somewhere around 03 when I had just gotten out, I was having dinner in New York with a girlfriend who was a PR-type person. And we grew up together. We went to the same school. And I happened to mention that just for fun, I had written this article just for myself called Is a Blowjob Really Cheating? And it was a very funny article. And she loved it. and she sent it to Maxim, and I got hired as a writer, just like that. They flew me out to New York, bang. I get hired. I'm writing for Maxim. From there, what happened was so many people would say, well, we can't do the movie without the book. You got to have a book. You got to have a book. And I had avoided it like the plague because I really just didn't want to go in and relive all of this. Because the first book I brought in at about 275 pages, and I really left a couple hundred pages out. So it was really consolidating all of this life living that was the challenge of writing
right.
it. Really, it took two books. So... You know, fast forward, I did record a video in, I think, 2013. I re-recorded the Lulu song to Sir With Love. Just to show, hey, can still do it. This is a story. This was always the story. There's a video on YouTube from 1992. And what am I doing? I'm talking about my billboard, making a record I just made, talking about the music. So the reason I put that up, there's about, what, it's a 25 years, 22, 30, close to that, 23 years or someone. And that basically, you know, seeing is believing.
Exactly. Exactly. And now you have lived a life that is not only, I think, you know, show people how you can move forward after the challenges, but also be the person you were meant to be. And that's what I think you're really showing people today, Jody. And I think the book Convicted would help them in that. I wanted to ask you that question, though, about the book, because I noticed one of the things that happened while you were in prison where one of the inmates asked you to tell Dove a story. And I said, you know, I wonder if she ever thought about that before going to prison.
It was so crazy, Cyrus. Here I am in a transitional facility. I talk about the fact that for reasons that were really about making the marshals money for transporting, I was transported like a suitcase for the first few months. And one of these transitional places found me in a room with probably 60 women in a three bunk bed format, like three and three and three. And of course, I'm skinny, so I'm always the lightest one, so I'm the one that's on top, always.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there on top in this room, and it's quiet as a mouse, and it's midnight, and you could hear a pin drop, and you've got probably 50, 60 women in there in this one room, and it's a quiet, and all of a sudden you hear, "Baby doll, tell us a story." And I was like, oh, my God, did she just ask me what I think she asked me? And I don't say anything. I try to pretend I'm asleep. And I hear it again, "Baby doll, tell us a story." And then you start hearing, "Yeah, baby, I'll tell you the story." So that's exactly what I had to come up with. I reflect. I mean, I've got so many. It didn't take me very long. I'm sure I just was, boop, here we go. Here's a story. Boop.
Right.
Manufactured out a story and put everybody to sleep.
Amazing. I mean, well, baby doll, you know, I think because of this, you know, now we're able to not only to know you as a person, but also to know what is possible. Again, everyone, Jody Baby Doll Gibson has been our guest today. Great conversation with you today, Jody. The book is Convicted. It's out now. You guys can get it from Amazon.com. Jody also has a great website that's set up. It's www.babydoll.com, and it's Baby Doll with one L. Babydoll.com is where you guys can go to stay connected with her. She's also all over social media, so you guys can find all of that information also on her site, babydoll.com.
And Facebook, you can catch me on Facebook. Come say hi. Stop by and visit me.
Definitely. Make sure you guys are staying connected with Jody. And Jody, continued success to you. And thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus. You're such a good host. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We'll definitely love to have you back. So definitely keep this in mind, okay?
I will, Cyrus. Thank you.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And we thank you, our radio audience, for being with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Conversations Live. For our online listeners, though, we're going to lose you guys. But if you came in late and missed part of the conversation with Jody, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the podcast of this show just a few moments after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S. liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. We'll make sure that we tag Jody there to make it easy for you guys to stay connected with her. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.